Where am I?
Oh, Jayla, you're finally awake. You've been in a coma for 50 days.
Oh, no.
Nurse, get the sedative quickly.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Web Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Locchiato, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Evan Rakowski.
Here I am, in the flesh, and cybernetic parts, too.
Yeah. 41.
Episode 41?
That's right.
Oh, man. It's getting old.
Yep.
Gonna have to bring it out behind the shed soon.
Nope.
No?
But, hey, it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
Approximately 50 days, maybe more.
Yeah.
I mean, 50 from a recording, because that Halloween episode, it was like a nice pre-Christmas treat.
Yeah.
Came out.
It got lost in translation a bit.
That's right. That's right.
Like, it got stuck at an airport and couldn't leave for a few years.
Yeah. But, hey, I mean, that was a great time. We had Steve Michaels from the Social Science Fiction Podcast on a show, killing it. If you haven't checked him out, please, please enjoy. He is a very intelligent man and
professional academic,
professional teacher, and takes very complicated political issues and explains them through kind of fun questioning and analysis of nerd stuff. So hell yeah. And hell also, we've done episodes with him, so extra check him out. But today, this is like a emergency, get you out of retirement, mafia comes to your door with flowers or like a musical instrument box.
And they kill your dog.
They kill your dog and they're like, hey, we need you to come back in the business. I don't know why killing your pet always makes you go back into the business, but...
Hey, just ask John Wick.
But here we are in a post-Keanu Reeves world.
Sans dogs.
Sans dogs. Here we are with all of these announcements, and specifically the announcements that I'm talking about are really, at least what we'll talk about today, Disney
centric,
Marvel centric, but
same thing.
It is the same thing. Yep. But I mean, there is this sort of stuff happening a lot of different places. It's not exclusive to Disney or Marvel. Disney,
we just had the Game Awards too. Lots of announcements there.
And we just had the Game Awards, which we'll definitely touch on. I forgot about that.
Good We're catch. Probably going to fire out a few episodes real quick.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about.
Got a lot to talk about. So even though we're going to focus on a couple of things, I'll even just mention it right now. I mean, we know HBO Max is going to be showing a lot of their movies that would be going to theaters through HBO Max for certain companies.
Yeah, the gloves are really off. They want their money.
And people are getting pissed. But that's going to cut into DC's catalog as well. So even though we're really not going to touch on anything DC today, know that that's happening as well. And there may be an episode in the future where we detail those things. But let's kind of just grab a big spoon and dig right into this Disney Marvel announcement fest. Evan, I believe you get some dope Star Wars news, like
yep.
A lot of Star Wars
Here
news.
Here I am putting my spoon into the content bowl and, oh, Star Wars news.
A raisin.
Delicious. I mean, I like raisins.
Yeah.
Big fan of Raisin Bran. But yeah, Disney had this kind of big kind of content drop for Disney Plus, with Marvel stuff, and Star Wars stuff, and I'm going to talk about the Star Wars stuff as you just mentioned. We got a few new shows announced. All right, so we got Ahsoka. This show is going to be starring Rosie O'Dawson, so it's going to be a kind of like a crossover. There's going to be crossover events, but it's going to branch off into its own new show. For those of you who don't know, this Rosario Dawson played Ahsoka Tano, exiled Grey Jedi, in The Mandalorian. And, yeah, She's revealed that she's got her own plans and her own mission.
She killed, like, a bunch of people.
She killed a bunch of people. Jaehaerys was not supposed to kill people, but she didn't care.
No.
But, yeah, she's got her own mission. She, in the episode, I'm not going to tell you everything about the episode and what name she mentions, but she's got Kill Bill-style vengeance on her mind. Next thing on the list is Rangers of the New Republic, which is going to be another crossover slash in the same kind of universe as The Mandalorian, which is, you know, still canon mainline, but specifically in that style of show, in that, you know, pool of actors in real life. Yeah, it's like an expansion of the show. Who or what it's exactly going to be out is unclear, except that it takes place during the same time period. It's going to be about the New Republic, and apparently things are a mess, because that's how it is. Like, they defeat the Empire, start the New Republic, and things immediately don't go well. Which, you know,
that's it's almost like these people are asking to just constantly get, you know,
bad stuff to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I was going to say slumped from behind, but yeah.
We can say the Star Wars universe is very cyclical in nature, and people tend not to learn from their mistakes.
It's very important.
If the new trilogy is said to say anything. But yeah, same time period. They're either going to be, like, you know, pilots or, like, you know, Rangers, like Texas Rangers delivering street justice.
We're Rangers on the moon.
They carry a harpoon. But moving on, another show, they finally, I guess, gave us a concrete release of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, which has kind of been in production hell for quite some time.
And Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen is going to be in it, as well as Ewan McGregor, which, you know, makes us think, like, are these going to be, like, flashbacks are both in, or is Obi-Wan going to run into Darth Vader?
You know, I feel like, even though that supposedly never happened,
they might do that.
They might do that because they know people will
eat it up.
Yeah. I was going to say drop their kids to watch that episode, but yeah.
Ooh, that'd be intense.
Like, you're just going to hold him for the next 30 minutes, and then they see, like, you know, not an ad because it's a streaming service, but, like, their attention span just glazes over towards the TV where their streaming services, and they see that.
A strobing Mickey Mouse face brainwashing them.
Right. And then boom, kids on the floor, splattered, cracked like Humpty Dumpty.
Don't say that. We can't have that on the show.
You're right.
We can't have graphic.
But Humpty Dumpty was put back together.
They couldn't put him back together again. Don't you remember? It was all the king's horses and all the king's men. So not only were men trying to put this egg back together, but horses.
They should have called the women.
Maybe back then, you know, they trusted horses with those tasks more than women.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Those surgical, precise hooves.
Yeah, the horses have high deck scores.
Yeah.
They're like halflings. But let's see, what's next? They're going to have a show, I believe it's going to be a show, called Andor, which is going to follow the various trials and tribulations of, you know, the lawful, neutral Cassius? I think it's Cassian Andor from Rogue One. He was that gentleman who died on Scarif with not Rey. Her name's escaping me, but she was in that movie too. So was that security droid who was played by Alan Tudyk.
Yes, good voice actor.
Yes.
When utilized, which he wasn't in Aladdin.
Was he even in Aladdin?
He was Iago, and as we recall, Iago didn't even talk in that movie.
It was just Alan Tudyk making bird noises?
Yes, we talked about this.
I'm sure we did. I just must have intentionally forgot it.
Right.
Out of disgust.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a Lando show or movie. It's probably already been announced, but I can't remember which one it is. Nothing solid on the casting yet, although, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, is it going to be Donald Glover? I mean, maybe it'll be young Lando, and it'll be Donald Glover. That'd be dope. Maybe. I mean, the Han Solo movie was kind of garbage, but I digress. There's going to be a droid story show, which is going to be centric on C-3PO and R2-D2. Who knows what kind of humor it'll be. Will it be droid humor? Will it be like Three Stooges humor where C-3PO makes fun of R2-D2 and slaps him in the head? And then R2-D2 just like pokes him in the eyes? You know, stuff like that.
Yes. A void that's been direly needed.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is an exciting announcement. There's going to be something called Star Wars The Acolyte, which is going to be a show set in the High Republic.
Mm.
Around 700 to 600 years before Episode One. It's not the Old Republic, it's the New Republic.
Wait, isn't it 500 years?
No. I think it was like 700 or 600, but I think Yoda will still be alive during that time period.
Just chilling. Just teenager. Chillin'. Teenager Yoda. Yeah,
could be teenage Yoda. Might make sense. Could be a Jedi Knight or a Jedi Apprentice. Who knows? But yeah, and it's supposed to be kind of an action thriller. And with a name like an Acolyte, you can only assume that it has to do with, like, a Sith, probably. Like, a Sith Acolyte. Maybe it'll be, like, a murder mystery where, like, a young group of Padawans are, like, separated from their master. And, like, an Acolyte has infiltrated the group.
Could be. Maybe that Acolyte is Yoda and he's just killing people.
Sith I am.
I will repent later in life.
No one will know my dark secret. Time to do ketamine.
As he's wont to do.
Yeah. Next up, going to be pretty interesting for the both of us, something called Star Wars Visions. It's going to be an anthology of animated short films, but like anime animated. So I'm thinking maybe something kind of like The Animatrix or like Love, Death, and Robots or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, Warhammer's doing something similar to that, too. One day.
We'll be sure to talk about it when they actually have something to show, besides for snippets and teasers.
Yeah.
And last but not least, there's going to be a Rogue Squadron movie.
This is the sound of me tuning out.
Yeah, I know that, like, it's funny, because I grew up, like, playing a lot of the older Rogue Squadron games, and some of my favorite parts of Star Wars being the space combat. But for you, it's the exact opposite. For you, that's like the most boring asset.
It's so boring. I don't give a shit about people flying. It's like dogfighting.
It's like dogfighting, but in space, and the ships are cool.
That's dumb. You know what? I was re-looking into some decent sci-fi, and I realized, in Mass Effect being the decent sci-fi, and
whoa there.
In Mass Effect, there is none of that, because they're like, yeah, this is the future, the real future, where our guns are, like, so good and so precise and can fire at such a range that, like, one group parks on one side of the galaxy and the other group parks on the other side of the galaxy, and they just fire at that distance and nail hits, because why would you have dogfights and close-range combat in space with, you know, advanced technology like that?
Places. Listen, man, I'm not going to discuss this right here, right now.
All
right,
we'll have to make another episode for it.
There's definitely some dogfighting in
Mass Effect. We'll call Steve of the Social Science Fiction Podcast.
Yeah, we can do some research. We can talk about that.
He'll tell us all about the political implications of a space war.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars is all about.
Mm.
And sometimes politics, but people don't like the politics part.
Mm-mm.
And, yeah, Rogue Squadrons is kind of set to be, like, a Top Gun kind of movie, you know, very, very dogfighty movie, so that'd be cool. Maybe we can have, like, a Star Wars Danger Zone moment. Where it's just playing, like, funky Star Wars music and, like, a pilot's corkscrewing into enemy fire.
You know, I wouldn't put it past I wouldn't put it past anyone, really. Tell you what, though, we've got some Marvel things.
All right, time for your side of this sliced sandwich.
Yep. I mean, there's a lot, but some good ones, big ones. Blade, obviously, we knew that was coming.
Oh yeah, and I think his name's Marshala Ali.
Sounds about right.
Masala? No, masala is a food, but yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Wesley Snipes knows about this and gave Marshala his blessing. So, I think it's all in good faith.
Wesley Snipes is a legend.
And a tax evader.
And And if he gives anyone their blessing, then I'm happy.
Hey, I mean, not that you can really hold it against the man. I'm sure he's, like, more martially skilled than most tax collectors. So if you can fight off a tax collector, by all means, don't pay your taxes.
Don't pay your taxes. Crazy stuff.
WandaVision.
WandaVision. We got a new trailer. And I'm still more convinced than ever that this is some kind of House of M build-up or just straight up it's going to be a take on House of M, or, you know, they're going to use themes of it, because it just keeps appearing and seeming like it's this, like, manufactured reality that Wanda's created using her above average powers in the MCU, so that she can, you know, have, like, a nice life with Vision. I don't know where it falls in the timeline, but it just seems like, just the way that that trailer's presented, they're flashing from, like, you know, like an I Love Lucy era TV show to, like,
Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch type sitcom to, like, you know, like a modern drama type of sitcom. So it's, you know, and then people are kind of, like, freezing up and they can't remember, like, what they were doing
in different parts of their life. Yeah, kind of like a Westworld situation where the people are just like, oh, God, like, I'm an artificial construct.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that all, you know,
briefly explain that, and I'll use the same description everyone's given when they've given me a, you know, a rough rundown of what House of M is, and that is Scarlet Witch is so powerful she can kind of, like, guilt PTSD herself into an altered dimension where she can cope with whatever's bothering her, and that's what it's looking like it's gonna be.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, she is that powerful.
Crazy. There are three new series on their way beyond the ones that we already know about, which the first one I'm personally very excited for, Secret Invasion.
That's a big event.
Yes. And I feel like that was kind of hinted at the end of Captain Marvel.
I still haven't seen Captain Marvel, but I think I've seen the scene where, like, the Skrulls are just chilling on Earth.
No, well, I don't even think... Well, yeah, there was the Skrulls chilling on Earth, but maybe it was at the end of Spider-Man, the last scene at the end of Spider-Man.
Yeah, wasn't that Nick Fury on, like, a spaceship? Or am I thinking of something else?
That was the one, I think, of Captain Marvel, but the one at the end of Spider-Man is that it was never Nick Fury? Or maybe that was
never someone. Certain two people were aliens.
Yes.
That's the one I'm remembering.
Yeah, maybe I'm mix-matching them with the one at the end of Captain Marvel. Listen, but anyways.
These S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, they were reptilians, they were aliens, these agents who were supposed to protect us.
Yeah. So that was kind of hinted at. Now, you know, based on established lore from Captain Marvel movie, we know that the Skrulls aren't necessarily bad, they're more like a refugee species in the MCU, so either they're gonna
demonize an entire species in Disney's Marvel,
right? So either there something weird is gonna happen and they're gonna flip it, or maybe it's gonna be that, like, the Skrulls that are displaced and are living on Earth are revealed, and then, like, the Earth is like, oh, aliens.
Secret invasion.
And it, you know, it'll be like that.
It's really about the Earth's overreaction to it.
Yeah, but it's a series. So that's why I'm thinking that. Because if the series is, like, following a family of Skrulls or, like, a single Skrull, and it's like, this is what I deal with on the day-to-day.
Oh, man. Now, that would be funny if it was more of, like, a... almost kind of like a WandaVision type thing, where it was like, oh, that's my Skrull.
Yeah, or like, you know, basically like almost like Always Sunny.
Yeah.
But
just or like something always goes wrong with a group of misfit Skrulls.
Yeah. So that's cool. There is Ironheart with not Pepper Potts. So at least there's that.
Yes.
I'm happy about that.
Ironheart, I think it may have been in, like, 2015 or somewhere. It was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Ironheart is 15-year-old Riri Williams, a young African-American woman who is as smart and resourceful as Tony Stark. In fact, she built her suit out of stolen Stark tech. She's just as smart as he is, as I think I mentioned. And essentially, Tony Stark found out about her and was like, yo, you're my heir. Like, I'm gonna basically bankroll your, basically, you know, be your...
daddy.
I wouldn't say daddy. I was gonna say more of, like, her, like, mentor or, like, her handler, essentially.
That doesn't sound too much better. That's all right. We'll skip past it.
Like her Alfred or something. I don't know. He's bankrolling her operation.
I'm gonna be your old white guy.
All right. Yeah. Okay. He's her old white guy.
So, beyond that is another Iron Man-esque, and that is Armor Wars, which is going to be War Machine. And the information we have about this is that War Machine will have to face off against Tony Stark's greatest fears. So, like, what does that mean? Is, like, he gonna fight, like, you know, like, spiders and, like, heights and, like, space and like, that sort of stuff? Like,
concepts that you can't really embody?
Maybe. I mean, we know he doesn't like space or heights. Spiders was a guess.
Yeah, it could... Maybe it's a resurgence of...
all those armors.
Yeah, it could be the armors. It could be Ultron.
Oh, God, no, don't even joke like that.
I mean, I feel like the Ultron's too cool to, like, you know, just be done dirty, like, in Marvel 2, Avengers 2.
I don't know.
Do you think they've ruined Ultron that much in that one movie?
I feel like they would have to... the only way they could redeem Ultron is by bringing him back by... like, via reintroduction of another element of lore. Like, if, you know, they started, like, finishing up with Scott Lang as Ant-Man, and, like, he was retiring, but then, what's his name?
Hank Pym.
Hank Pym, whoever the actor is
that played. Tried to make an AI to replace him.
Yes, or, like, something like that. And they could, like, fiddle around with the lore, and like he was like, no, I got
it's,
like,
no, it's based off of Hank Pym. It's
I like... got too drunk and I thought that it would be fun to mess around with Ultron, but hey, it actually worked. Yeah. It's like, Hank Pym, you old drunk.
And he's just a robot that's like stumbling around.
And he's like, oh, I've done terrible things to women. And we're like, yeah. Yeah, you have.
That's Hank. Why we don't talk about that arc anymore.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's some of the new stuff.
Moon Knight
is coming. That is... I don't know who's actually going to be in that, do you?
No clue.
But I do know that She-Hulk is a thing.
Single female lawyer.
Yep. And interesting is that when they talked about She-Hulk, they were like, yeah, and yada yada, something, something or other... she's a lawyer, like, really emphasizing lawyer, and that it will open up the other, like, this other side of MCU and the characters that interact with it.
Well, that'd be great if it was, like, an MCU-SVU.
Well, there's only one other, like, notable lawyer.
Matt Murdock.
Right?
Right. Oh.
So here's another...
if it's just, like, a Marvel law show that's just her versus him and, like, the court of law constantly. Okay.
So, beyond this side rant about Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
Marvel's Spider-Man 3.
Marvel Sony's Spider-Man 3.
Yes. Marvel hyphen Sony. Spider-Man
3. Spider hyphen man.
Spider hyphen man. Colon.
Colon, not semicolon.
3.
Yes.
Yes. Among, like, literally everything that's been cast for this movie, like, Park Bench, confirmed recast for Spider-Man 3. Which, let's just go over it. We've got...
Alfred Molina,
Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2, from the Tobey trilogy.
Garfield?
Andrew Garfield, you know, titular Spider-Man from the...
Amazing Spider-Man. Which wasn't too bad.
Not even trilogy.
Yeah, it was just two movies.
Just two movies, because they were like, ooh, fuck, we really messed up the third movie.
They made the second movie. Yeah, they made the second movie, like, kind of jarring.
Jamie Foxx, from the second Amazing Spider-Man movie, opposite Andrew Garfield as Electro, confirmed coming back as Electro.
Luckily, no goblin disease.
No goblin disease. Yet.
The guy who saw Spider-Man's pizza being stolen.
The guy who saw Spider-Man's pizza.
The guy who thought he saw Spider-Man stealing Peter Parker's pizza as he was delivering it as Pizza Boy.
Kirsten Dunst coming back as MJ.
Kirsten or Kirsten?
Kirsten. K-I-R.
Kirsten.
Kirsten, coming back as, I always want to say Durst, like Fred Durst, Kirsten Durst, but it's not, it's Dunst. Oh God,
what horrible reality would that be, were they married?
She'd be like, wah! But she's coming back as Mary Jane from the original Toby trilogy.
The original Mary Jane Watson.
I don't think Toby has been confirmed for the movie.
If they don't confirm him, there has to be some reason why. Like, maybe Tobey Maguire's just not doing so well. They're like, oh, we can't have him. Google's, what's Tobey Maguire up to?
So, yeah, I just took a quick look just to make sure news is as current as we can have it. There's lots of rumors, but he has not been confirmed. People really want him, you know.
I mean, I want him back.
He's my
favorite. We all want him back.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
We grew up with him.
Anyways, I'm not going to get into the rumor mill. But, yes. So, I think those are the major people, right? Anyone else that we're missing who are returning? Obviously, J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jameson, Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch.
So, I guess that pretty much confirms that this is going to be kind of like an Into the Spider-Verse kind of thing.
It's, you know, and like somebody asked on Twitter recently, like, is this a Spider-Verse? He's like, I will not confirm or deny. It's like, ah, so you've confirmed it.
I want to be funny if, like, animated... Yeah, what if, like, animated Miles Morales is in there, too?
Just, like, animated in?
Animated in, interacting with actors like it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. Yeah, all this stuff. And it seems that Matt Murdock has also, the actor who played him, has been confirmed for Spider-Man 3.
Oh.
Which... if we remember where the second movie leaves off, he's framed for the murder of Quentin Beck.
Oh, I see how it's going.
Yes. So, hell yes.
He's probably going to represent him.
He's going to represent him, but also hell yes for that actor coming back.
Whose name is...
whose name is Charlie Cox. And he was great. Not that Ben Affleck wasn't. Just wasn't the time for a Daredevil movie, nor was it super good.
And Charlie Cox got the better script.
Charlie Cox just got the better deal overall. Yeah. So that's super cool. Super pumped for that. Side rant pretty much over. Obviously, I'm very excited for this third Spider-Man movie. Not because I specifically like the Spider-Verse, but because I like the original trilogy the best. And I'm very excited for it to be legitimized. Because I'm sick and tired of people being like, what, there can only be one, you know, like, trilogy that's good. It's like, nah.
You can't avoid the original canon.
It's so good.
It's like Star Wars.
Except for the third movie.
Yeah, I mean...
those first two are great. Yeah. Even though, yes, the first movie at this point is, like, really, like, a Power Rangers movie.
I always thought that whenever I saw Green Goblin and Spider-Man fighting.
And it's so crazy to me, continuing the side rant, because when I was a kid, I'd always be like... man, they look so much cooler in the comics. Like, why does he have this, like, stupid, like, shiny armor and, like, rubber suit?
This goblin stealth suit.
Yeah, and, like, this, like, crazy heavy metal, like, you know, war industrial glider.
Yeah.
And, like, I always thought it was cooler, and it's like, now they're going back to this, you know, like, comic book aesthetic, and that's what's, like, in, and that's what's hot, and it's like, man, you guys missed your mark pretty hard. Anyways, we also saw... a trailer for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Which is going to be a series. I believe
it's a series, yeah.
Which is pretty wild, because from the trailers, it looks like it would be in the theaters. But I guess that's what happens when you throw, you know, when you throw like a summer blockbuster, Disney's Marvel's budget at anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they're doing a lot of these series the same way that they're doing them with Star Wars, because they know the... potential buzz that crossover events bring, and they're not going to start with them. They're going to do a season or like a season and a half to two and build up to these crossover events the same way that they were building up to those Avenger films and those bigger films. You had to go through all those like little individual things. Now they're just doing it with seasons of shows.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they learned from The Mandalorian. It's like, maybe this is the best medium of,
and even consider,
like, visual media.
You know, the movies aren't really a thing. So, like, what's the point in spending to get a movie that you're just going to lose money on because you're going to throw it on your streaming service when you could just make a show, probably cheaper? Maybe not, because this is Disney and the actors that they're working with. So I'm pulling out of my ass a little bit there. but I'm sure that, you know, there's some reason they're choosing this over trying to make movies, because I'm sure that some of these things were originally going to be movies until the big Rona hit.
Yeah. I'm fairly sure, like, that's the whole HBO Max thing. They just got tired of waiting and couldn't probably guarantee their investors that, you know, they would see the kind of return they'd get from a movie theater, because maybe movie theaters won't be a thing in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if things go back to normal, maybe the risk will just be too great. And, you know, it'll be in people's minds that this is not safe.
Yeah. Movie-wise, there were two new reveals for movies. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
What a fun title.
What a fun title. I'm sure it's going to be very important. So if we're noticing all of these big movies...
Multiverses?
They have to do with, like, multiverse and quantum. And then the other one is Fantastic Four, which, like, what else do they deal with except, like, space and time travel and dimensions and crazy science?
And unfortunately, one of them turning into a giant rock monster and being sad.
Yeah, so the way that I read this is, which, A, I'm, like, dying to see the casting on Fantastic Four.
Again.
Because me and Billy have some...
For the third time.
Have some good conversations about who would make a good Reed Richards.
What about who would make a good Doctor Doom?
Anyone could make a good Doctor Doom. Legit. Like, you're not gonna see the dude's face. You shouldn't. I mean, I'll say that, unless they try to pull some stupid, you know, shit.
Well, he's not like Man in the Iron Mask. He can take that thing off. It's just, he likes wearing it because it's a symbol of power.
I mean, he's not disfigured. He makes a very important...
Isn't he, like, very vain and, like, handsome? And he's like, ooh, I'm the Prince of Latvia.
He is very handsome. I think originally he was, scarred and disfigured, though, like, in his original character. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, point being aside, he, you know, is by no means hideous under there, but he barely takes the thing off. So, like, why should you see him without his mask?
I mean, if I had, like, a suit of magical power armor, I'd never take it off.
Yeah, it's like, why would you? But... Anybody could play him. I'm more interested to see who they would get to play. Reed Richards, I feel like, is the most important. Sue and Johnny Storm, I feel like...
No, just get Chris Evans again.
I know. I feel like you can get away with a lot with them, so I'm not...
I mean, he's
like,
not doing Captain America.
It's true.
It's like, no, I don't think I will.
And, obviously... The Thing, it's like
Michael
same Chiklis thing
again.
It's just going to be somebody covered in CGI, so like could be literally anyone. But
Ron,
yes,
Perlman.
I imagine that they're going to come in and be like, man, Ant-Man and the Wasp, you guys are just really fucking science up, so here we are to like just like show you how it's
we're
done.
The science police here to take you in.
Yeah, literally. Like, by the way, you know...
Don't mind Ben Grimm over here.
Yeah, and he's like, I messed up science once.
When I messed up science, I lost my peen.
Yeah, I'm just like, whoa. Ben Grimm, please just get
Stop
married.
Stop talking about your rock cock.
Yeah, he likes to. So, other than that, there was a new trailer for Loki. And that actually looked way more interesting than I ever would have expected it to. Because I really was just...
Didn't like the idea of a Loki, like, centric show?
No, because I know Loki's fans. So I just thought it would be a lot of fan service to that. And it looks like there is still a lot of fan service to that. But
it's synonymous with people who like Nightmare Before Christmas too much.
I like Nightmare Before Christmas too much. I just thought that it would just be a lot of just like snide remarks and like Loki always like just getting out by the skin of his teeth, and it probably will be a lot of that. But like the trailer had like a lot of really nice looking set pieces. And it was like more dark and ominous than I thought it would be. So that
speaking of, Owen Wilson was there.
Owen Wilson was there in a suit. So, like,
oof.
I was ready.
And maybe the triumvirate.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's definitely some dark and ominous stuff going on in that show that I'm pretty on board about.
A big motif of, like, a three-headed or a three special statues.
Yeah, so...
Typically associated with the triumvirate.
So we're all about it. Those were... For us, there's obviously some other big Disney announcements, like Disney proper, But we won't go over that. We'll stick to the Marvel and the Star Wars.
Why should you care?
That's right. So there was another recent big event type thing. Literally, I think it was the same night. Either like the same day or the same night.
Yeah, within like in...
Because I was I was watching the awards with...
In terms of media announcements, it would be seconds from each other.
Yeah, they were like right there. Because we were in Discord, and I was also on the CBR Twitch watching some of those guys.
And I was just glancing at my phone like, oh, check out Star Wars Visions.
Yeah. And yeah, I was just seeing things, you know, like watching the thing on Twitch and like seeing people react live and then like looking over on the Discord feed and it was like, oh, more Star Wars announcements and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't even know. I'm not going to get into the awards themselves. That might be a whole other episode if it's covered at all. All I'll say is, you know...
Good job, Hades.
Huh?
They want the studio that made Hades, they want a lot.
Yeah, but... I mean, the big thing that I would say after watching that is like, oof. This, you know, specific game or games winning awards back to back to back after, like, notably... being reported on negatively in the industry for like
bad business practices
like crunch and like not paying your employees
and making and, like, them watch execution videos.
I didn't know about that. That's fucked up. But like paying your game testers like less, you know, like a smaller salary than they can afford to like get daily meals and like stuff like that. Like, yeah, basically just talking about Last of Us 2. And fuck them.
Yeah.
Big old fuck them from the dork web.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk too much about that.
You hear that, Neil Druckmann? That was aimed at you. The glove has been taken off and slapped. Lines drawn in the sand. You know, our pistol one shot is ready. Meet us at dawn. Or noon, whatever you like. What works better for you?
Yeah. 12 o'clock somewhere.
So noon somewhere.
That's right. So... what I will talk about is the announcements.
Mm-hmm.
And for the announcements, the big one for me...
Darktide.
Back for Blood.
Back for... Oh, yeah. It's either that or Back for Blood.
I mean, it has to be Back for Blood. We went over this earlier.
Yeah.
I saw... It's like, I don't know if my stream just, like, got delayed or something, but, like, I thought I saw just, like... a 30-second trailer for Darktide in the Game Awards. Apparently it was 2 minutes. We'll get to that in a second. But nothing that I saw in that trailer spoke to me the same way that Back 4 Blood did. And just simply, Back 4 Blood is the spiritual successor to Left 4 Dead. It is made by Turtle Rock Studios, who... had a lot to do... I mean, they pretty much made the first Left 4 Dead. Obviously, people come and go from a studio, so it's not like a one-for-one, but the team has intimate knowledge and investment in the Left 4 Dead franchise. Not the second game, however. But yeah, they...
Are you saying the two different teams made Left 4 Dead 1 and 2?
Yes.
Mm.
So they are making their old thing, and this coincides with some rumors and possible leaks from a little while back saying that there was a Left 4 Dead 3 in the works and that it got canceled by Valve because Valve hates the third of anything.
Why do they have that weird rule?
I don't know. I don't even know. But... yeah, so Turtle Rock Studios is like, cool, let's just make what we know how to make and make it really good. And you may remember Turtle Rock Studios' last project that was big old hunk of shit called Evolve.
Putting it lightly.
Called Evolve.
Like, it was fun the first few rounds, but then it just became the same thing over and over again.
Right. You may say, but wait, the dork web, J-Lo, John, Evan, why would you... recommend me something made by somebody who previously made a big old hunk of shit? And I would say, yeah, great question. because they just made the wrong game.
Something that wasn't in their wheelhouse.
Exactly. They excel at a very specific formula. And even though some of those hallmarks were there in Evolve, the formula just wasn't balanced correctly. And when they mixed all the elements together, instead of forming a bar of gold, it formed a log of shit. So, I mean, it can't be helped. I mean, there were parts of Evolve that were cool. It just didn't have the replayability that, like, Left 4 Dead did.
Or balance.
And Back 4 Blood looks awesome. It was great because they released a reveal trailer. And then immediately after, they're like, hey, how about some gameplay footage? You want to see that? And then they showed off some gameplay footage. And in that gameplay footage, you know, you see the different types of infected and kind of how those interact. And that's cool. But it looks so much like Left 4 Dead, like starting out in a safe house and picking at zombies from the safe house, getting your weapons, opening the door, and then obviously starting the level and going from there. But, yeah.
I like how the infected kind of have, like, an old-school Resident Evil aesthetic. Lots of big, glowy areas with eyes on them.
Yeah. And they also, those big, glowy areas, there seem to be weak points. So that's kind of cool. You know, is kind of like a seesaw balancing act. Yes, there's weak points now, but it seems like there's a lot more of the special infected running at you. And then there's also, like, giant, like, vehicle. Colossus. Yeah, like, yeah. Vehicle-sized special infected.
Even bigger. They, like, smash vehicles.
Yeah, and, like, rip apart fences. And
yeah, shit. Think of the tank, but maybe, like, 5 times bigger.
Yeah. So that's cool. These are all positive changes that I see. Stuff that will...
It might be the Operation Raccoon City we needed.
Yeah, I feel like it's all stuff that... changes just enough to keep things, like, feeling like it's fresh while still very much keeping Turtle Rock in their wheelhouse and keeping them making what they know.
Yeah. But on the other side of the coin, we have Darktide. Similar type of game. It is the spiritual successor to Vermintide 1 and 2. Made by the same studio. And, you know, this time it's in the 40K universe, and with that, more of a commitment to more long-range options. So you're going to have things like auto guns, like big mutant-sized shotguns, las guns too. And this time you're going to be fighting, you know, Chaos Cultists, Chaos Guardsmen, Demons of Nurgle, lots of Poxwalkers, and it's going to be... They said there's going to be more of like a... like horror suspense aspect to the game, because this Hive City is, you know, so big and falling apart that these rolling blackouts, there's going to be a lot of times where you need to, where like the lights will go out and you need to use your shoddy flashlights and, you know, things will attack you when the lights are out. And
As it be.
And the four new characters look good. You know, if it's anything like Vermintide, you might have some extra characters. But, you know, in this trailer, they only showed off 4. Was it 5?
It was 4.
Yeah, it was 4. You know, we got your, like, battle sister, like a hospitalier or something. You have a guardsman, maybe a Tempesta Scion. A full-on Ogryn, which are these big ab-humans that come from, human colonies with very high gravity. So, they're kind of like these dumb, bulky... like monster humans, but they're sanctioned by the Inquisitors, so they're allowed to live. We might have either another guardsman captain or an inquisitorial acolyte with like a power sword or something. But yeah, all these people are as they said, convicts turned inquisitorial acolytes, so maybe there'll be a, like kind of like a Bad Company vibe there with like their interactions with each other and their voice dialogue. But, yeah, so far, that's all we know.
Ripping and tearing with chainsword.
Oh, yeah. Got to see... Besides, that's all we know. We got to see some gameplay, too. A lot of the animations and, like, kind of basically the way the game plays seems to be lifted straight from... from Vermintide, which, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Some people may want more innovation, but, you know, I think a lot of people just want, you know, Vermintide and 40K. So that's, I guess that's the, I mean, and you don't really need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to swinging a giant Warhammer. All you gotta do is make, like, sparks shoot out of it, and maybe the enemy catch on fire when you hit them, because if it's, you know, if it's like a power hammer or something. But the chainsword also looks cool, because either it will cut you in half, or, like, you'll see it, like, get caught on the enemy and start, like, sawing into them as part of the animation. But other than that, looks like it's got some fun attitude to it, too, with the different characters. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Heck yeah. I think I definitely hope it will be good, because Warhammer games need a break after Necromunda, and hopefully some more variety comes in the shape of different enemy types. I'd really like to, you know, see orcs or like Tyranids or stuff like that, in addition to, you know,
Chaos.
Yeah, because we've done a lot of that in Vermintide.
Yes. Yes, we have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, splatting rats is fun.
That's true. But those were kind of, I think, the biggest things, at least for us, out of the Game Awards. And then, obviously, all of the other reveals that we've gone through. So that was kind of this emergency, the Dork Web needs to form a council and just talk about all this stuff. Also,
we're reaching content critical mass.
Correct. And also, it's been a while with everything going on. Got to make sure we're both healthy before we get together. Make sure we're doing our part. But that being said, this is going to bring episode 41 to a close. As always, you can reach us on email, or reach us at email at thedorkwebpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram as thedorkweb. You can find us, you can find us on Instagram as thedorkwebpodcast. You can find us on Twitter as thedorkweb. You can also find us on Facebook as thedorkweb. You can visit our website, thedorkweb.net, and there will be new content coming there soon. Mr. Steve Michaels of the Social Science Fiction Podcast is actually going to be contributing some of his thoughts, as well as our wacky D&D campaign that we've been running. That will be novelized and then serialized on the website. So you can look forward to that.
Never trust a boat.
Never trust a boat.
Never will.
Never will.
Not after the death of my son.
Nope. Otherwise, myself, of course, these days I am writing for CBR when I am not avoiding recording episodes for the podcast or not recording episodes for the podcast. On CBR, I write about video games and stuff in video games. And if you want to hear more about what I think about video games,
especially if that has to do with Kingdom Hearts,
Sora and Riku should have been lovers. You can come and read about that.
Yeah. His fan fiction is top notch.
Top notch. Other than that, folks, I bid you all a safe farewell for now. And we'll have some more content coming soon. Next up, we have to absolutely talk about Destiny 2.
And Cyberpunk 2077.
And Cyberpunk 2077.
Maybe that will be its own episode, too.
Probably. Until next time.
See you later, Samurai.